The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So let me get right into this thing, guys. Today, I want to talk to you briefly for a moment here on podcast, YouTube, Facebook Live, wherever you guys are joining us from. I want to minister for the next few moments on what I believe is three major markers of a true encounter with God. Three major markers of a true encounter with God. I believe anyone who's had a true evident encounter with the Lord is going to, they're going to express these three major markers. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So let's get into this thing. And all three of these are found right here in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. So if you have a Bible, you can follow along with me. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. That's where you're going to find, as I said, every one of these, what I believe are true markers of an encounter with the Lord. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. This is Isaiah speaking. High and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth was full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell these people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Now, again, this is a powerful passage written by Isaiah the prophet is speaking here of a direct encounter that he experienced firsthand with God Almighty. And there's three major markers that are present here that I believe are three major markers that every individual under the sound of my voice today, whether you're listening, whether you're watching, if you have a true encounter with the true God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a true encounter with the Lord, I believe you are going to express these traits. These traits are going to be present. So let's get right into that. I believe these traits will be seen in every believer's life that has a true experience. The first thing that we see that took place when Isaiah had a personal encounter with the Lord was his recognition of his need to be made whole and cleansed in the presence of the Lord. If you're taking notes, let me say that again. The first thing that took place, the first major marker of a true encounter with God was his recognition of his need and of his necessity to be made whole and cleansed in the presence of the Lord. Notice what Isaiah uttered. He said, quote, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts. Listen, friend, it's impossible to have sin in your life, to be lukewarm, to have whatever that you're carrying and coming into the true presence of the Lord, the glory of God, his presence, and not have an awareness of the necessity of repentance. I'm telling you, every true encounter that I've ever had in my life where the real presence of God comes in that place, I'm telling you, there, even when I thought I had everything, like when I had, when I'd been prayed up, when I had repented of all of everything that I knew of, the Bible talks about sins of omission and sins of remission. What that basically means is, without getting too theologically deep, it means sins that you are aware of and sins that you may not even know that that you may be walking in or that you may be involved in your life. It's those deep things of your heart, the deep things that may not been manifested or exposed. And I believe, in my personal opinion, the reason why a lot of people can't relate to what I'm telling you today or what we're talking about is because they've never had a true encounter with a living God. They've experienced religion. They've experienced denominations. They've experienced a feel-good service. They've experienced motivational speaking. They've experienced a gathering or a conference or whatever the case may be. And they may get a little goosebumply feelings, or they may be encouraged, or they may be inspired or whatever the case. But they come in, come on, carrying this or carrying a secret sin or a bondage or an addiction. But I'm going to tell you, there is an absolute distinction between that kind of atmosphere and an atmosphere where God himself comes into that place. The glory of God begins to set in that place and reside in that place. And then when that happens, friend, you will find yourself, before you even are aware of it, you'll find tears start streaming down your face. Your heart beats a little bit faster. Your pulse picks up. You can feel that heart beating in your chest. What is that? It's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit drawing you unto the Lord. He's drawing you into repentance. He is cleansing you from the inside out. And this is why Isaiah said, and I'm paraphrasing this, I thought I had everything squared away. I thought I was good. I thought everything was right. And then I discovered, when I got into the presence of God, that's when he began to say, woe is me. Come on. I'm telling you, there's a place in God you can get where you may go in. Before you get in the presence of God, you begin to point out everybody else's the plank in everybody else's eye. Woe is them. I can't believe sister so-and-so is doing that. I can't believe brother so-and-so is doing this or that or this. And you begin to point out everybody else's flaws. But then something happens. You transition from the outer court, from the inner court. Then you get into the Holy of Holies. And all of a sudden, the plank that you're trying to point out in everybody else's eye doesn't look so, what's the word I'm looking for? It doesn't look so profound anymore, because now because you're in the presence of his glory, in the presence of him, now your focus is no longer outward, but it's inward. Now you see the plank in your own eye so that you can see clearly, come on, the plank. You see the log in your own eye so you can see clearly the plank in your brother's eye. And this is what Jeremiah is saying: woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm in the midst of a people that's unclean, and for my eyes have seen you. And there's a principle here, guys. The more we keep our eyes on him and the more we're in his presence, I'm telling you, the more that we're able to walk in the Spirit so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the opposite is true. The more that we're not in his presence, the more that we have our eyes on everything else but him, the more apt that we are to keep falling into sin, to keep falling short, and to keep in bondage and keep in, come on, in these things, in these cycles of sin. Listen to me, when a genuine move of God takes place and the presence of the Lord shows up in our lives in a corporate gathering, a home, a living room, our office, one of the first things that will take place is our recognition of our necessity to get right with him in his presence. because it's in this atmosphere that the presence of God will begin to shine a spotlight on the hidden things and secrets of men's hearts. He will draw us into repentance by his precious Holy Spirit. And the more we set our eyes upon to gaze upon the King, the more we will utter, woe is me. This is not a bad thing, guys. I want to be in this place. This is why it's important for us to have frequent time set apart to get in his presence so that we can keep our hearts right before him. Notice what happened when Isaiah acknowledged and confessed his sin before the Lord. The word of the Lord tells us that one of the seraphim flew to Isaiah, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and touched his mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Oh, come on, friend. I got to tell you, the next thing that will happen when you're in the true and presence of the Lord is your desire to be sent. But before I send you there, I want to recap this real quick. So notice Isaiah acknowledged his need of repentance and getting his heart right with God. But number two, notice that he was made clean in his presence. Come on, listen. Oh, come on. Water alone cannot cleanse you. A church service cannot cleanse you. A sprinkling of water cannot cleanse you. Putting a cross on your neck cannot cleanse you. Putting your name on a church registry or in a denomination cannot save you. Listen, you can build the church, own the church, live in the church, reside in the church, sleep in the church. Come on. But that doesn't mean you are cleansed from your sins and that you're making it into heaven. I don't know about you, but call me old fashioned, but I believe that we should be stewarding a presence of the Lord to the point where, come on, people are coming in one way, but they're being made whole in his presence and going out another way. Come on. The old man is coming in, but they're being renewed in the likeness of him and going out as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Because the old has passed away and behold, all things are becoming new. How does that happen? It happens in his presence. Somebody say it happens in his presence. All right. So number two, the second thing that happens is right here in the book of Isaiah. The next thing that happens is that Isaiah begins to come into agreement with the assignment of heaven for his life. He no longer desired to live for himself, but he desired to be used by God. Isaiah stated in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, this is what he said. He said in verse 8, also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. See, you know what I've noticed in 21 years of ministry, the people that don't want to be sent, the people that don't want to be in the missionary field, the people that don't want to get uncomfortable, the people that don't want to get pressed for their time, the people that don't want to sacrifice their life and sacrifice what they're doing, come on, to go into the harvest field where the labors are few, but the harvest is plentiful. I discovered something. Those are usually and typically the individuals that has probably not had a true encounter with God. And because of that, they are holding on to their life. They're holding on to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They don't want to give up their time. They don't want to give up their money. They don't want to give up these things. They want to, listen, they want Jesus to be an addition to their life, not a transformation for their life. And let me say that again. Most of these people want Jesus to be an addition to their life. Come on. They like their life. They like their sin. They like their lifestyle. And they just want Jesus to be an addition to it. In other words, oh, come on, somebody. I want Jesus to be a carry-on with me when I travel. I'm going to put him in the back of the truck. I'm going to put him in the back row of the seat. I'm going to put him away, put him in the closet, put him in the back room. And while I'm living my life, while I'm partying, while I'm doing what I want to do, then as long as I know that Jesus is there, because I may be in a car accident and I can cry out to him and I can pull him out when I need him. Or I may get get in some financial trouble and I've got my carry-on Jesus with me. So, because he's Jehovah Jireh, I can pull him out and get me out of the financial trouble I'm in. Or when everything's going good in my marriage, I don't need him. But when it's going bad, where are you, Jesus? Let me pull you out of the closet. Let me pull you out of the back seat. Let me pull you out of the trunk. I'm talking about people want they want Jesus to be an add-on. They want him to be an addition to their life, not a transformation to their life. Come on. The rich young ruler, Jesus told him to sell everything he had and come and follow him. But he didn't want transformation. He wanted Jesus to be an addition to what he already had. Oh, I wish somebody would give me some help up in here today while I'm trying to preach this to you. I'm trying to tell you, you'll meet many, many people in your walk with God in the body of Christ that they merely want Jesus to be an addition and not a transformation of their life. Very few people acknowledge, understand, comprehend, and discern what Jesus said in the Gospels, where he said, if any man desires to come after me, let him first deny himself, take up his cross, which means dying to yourself, and then follow after me. No, we've created another gospel where we've made it convenient, where now the Jesus that we create, you know, Paul said that there would come a time when there'd be another Jesus. There'd be another Jesus. There'd be another spirit. There'd be another doctrine, and we're there because this new Jesus, it doesn't require us to deny ourselves. It doesn't require us to take up our cross. The new Jesus is, hey, come to the altar, repeat something that somebody else is saying, and you just repeat it. It don't matter if your heart's far from it or not. You just repeat the prayer, sign a card. We send you out the door, and Jesus has now become an addition to your life. You don't have to deny yourself. You don't have to take up your cross. You don't have to make any sacrifices. You don't have to make yourself uncomfortable and share your testimony. Come on. It's just an addition to your life. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a real, true mark on people who has a real, true encounter with God. And they, watch this. I'm telling you, you will discover that they are zealous, come on, to witness about the gospel. You don't have to beg them, come on, to go and witness the gospel and talk about Jesus and go on a missionary trip or do these things and express Jesus. And you don't have to beg them to let their light so shine among men that people may see their works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. They don't have a desire to put their light under a bushel. But they want to put, come on, their testimony on a lampstand and let all that are around them know that this Jesus is not a fairy tale. It's not a fable. It's not just a compilation of writings from a bunch of fishermen and ignorant people from thousands of years ago. No, they want to be expressive. Come on, and let people know that Jesus Christ is alive and well, and he has flipped their lives upside down. And they were once a prostitute. They were once a drug addict. They were once an alcoholic. They were once broke, busted, disgusted, on their way to hell. But God, come on, came in, flipped their life upside down. Come on, took the bondage off, took the addiction away. Come on, gave them peace and set their feet upon, established their goings upon the solid rock. Come on, can I get a witness from somebody today that's watching this? Somebody out there has got to be bearing witness with me today and say, "Ah, Brother Ricky, I can express to you, I can testify to you, and I can bear witness with you today." That, come on, listen, if you've really had an encounter with Jesus, you don't have to worry about him backsliding 5 years from now or 10 years from now. Because I'm telling you, I'm like the disciples in the book of John when Jesus began to get real deep and he talks about lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall have no part of my kingdom. And disciples begin to walk away. People begin to walk away. And he looked at Peter and he looked at James and he looked at John and he looked at his inner circle and he said, "What about you? Aren't you going to go?" And Peter looked at him and said, "Where are we going to go? There's nowhere else for us to go. We've already laid down our lives. We've walked away from our livelihood. We've walked away from everything we once knew. And we've laid it down for you." Friend, I'm telling you, Oh, come on. There's people out there that I'm talking to today. You can relate to Peter. You ain't got nothing to go back to. I don't have any more bar hopping buddies. I don't have any more club hopping buddies. I don't have any more people to do drugs with anymore. I don't have any people to drink alcohol with anymore. Why? Because I've already burned all those bridges. I've said goodbye to that old lifestyle. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, and behold, all things have become new. I'm telling you, I am determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Come on, somebody. Listen, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. So the Lord tells Isaiah, go and tell. He says, go and tell. Did you know that God is still saying today, go and tell the good news. Go and tell them I still raise the dead. Go and still tell them I'm healing the sick. Go and tell them that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Go and tell them that salvation is in no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. Do I got somebody listening today? I'm telling you, Jesus' word still resound today. I know Isaiah heard face to face the Lord say, go and tell. But Jesus said in the book of Mark, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Come on. Woo! One of the major earmarks of a man or woman that has had a true encounter with the Lord is they will have a burning desire and urgency to testify of their experience, and they will desire others to experience this same encounter with Jesus. This is why, listen, these people are, they don't do well in religious services. I don't do well in religious services. They bore me to tears. If there's no presence, if there's no encounter, if there's no Holy Spirit, if the people are not being healed, people being delivered, people setting free, devils being cast out, the dead raised, if they don't believe in the fullness and the power of the gospel, it's boring to me. I have no desire to be in that atmosphere because, again, the problem is most people have no idea what I'm talking about because they've never encountered a true encounter with God. And you say, well, how do I get this, Brother Ricky? How do I encounter this? That's what we're going to touch on in just a second. Let me get there. Listen to this. Why do you think Jesus said in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said one of the first things he told them, he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. In Acts 1:8, he says, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So, wow. So again, number one, the first earmark or the first major marker of an encounter with God is repentance. You will acknowledge your need of the of repentance in the presence of God. Number two is that you will find your purpose. You will find your purpose in the presence of God. You will discover that you are more, listen to me, you are more than just your occupation. You're more than just a title. You're more than just what everybody's labeled you. And number three, you will have a burning desire for to go out into the highways and byways and compel people to have this encounter with this living God that you have encountered. Now, this is where I want to close this today. I want to pray with you guys, and then I've got some announcements that I want to share with you. But this is what I want to pray today. If by chance somebody's watching this today or listening to this today, and you are acquainted with religion, you're acquainted with church, you're acquainted with maybe the Logos, the written word of God, but you have never encountered a true glorified presence of God where you can mark it. Again, I'm a firm believer that if you've really had a true encounter with God, I don't need to write it in my journal, because I know the day, I know the hour, I know the location. I can tell you every single thing, because it was life altering and changing. If that's you today and you're on the other side of this camera, on the other side of this microphone, and you say, Brother Ricky, I desire to have an encounter with God. I want that real true encounter with you. Here's what I'm going to, I can't promise you that it's going to happen right now. But I'm going to tell you, so I'm going to pray. Here's what I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray that God sets you up. Come on, sets you up. You say, what do you mean set up? Listen, Saul of Tarsus was killing Christians, burning down houses and taking them captive in the name of religion. But he was being set up by God, because while he was out doing what he thought was his occupation and doing what he thought was his duty and doing what he thought was right, God was setting him up for a true encounter with him. And when he had the encounter with him, he was no longer the same from that day forward. In fact, he even changed his name. He changed his name. He changed his identity. He changed his purpose. Come on, because he didn't ask Jesus to be an addition to his life. He was transformed on the road to Damascus. And right now, I want you, let's just lift up your hands if you can do this. If you can't lift up your hands, I just want you to agree with me today, right now, where you're at. Father, I'm asking by the Holy Spirit of God that you would set these individuals up. If anybody is listening to this day or watching this today, and they've not had a true altering, life-changing encounter with the presence of God, Lord, where they know and they have been radically transformed and never the same. God, I'm asking that you said in your word that the steps of the righteous man is ordered of the Lord. And I'm asking that you'd set them up. Lord, maybe it's right now on this, right on this broadcast. Maybe it's live. Maybe it's the replay of this, but right in their living room, right in their office, right in their car, right where they're listening or watching this. Father, I'm praying that you would touch them and they would radically be transformed. Lord, but nevertheless, I'm asking that you'd set them up. Maybe it's in a church service this Sunday morning. Maybe it's going down the road. Maybe it's going out into the woods somewhere. Maybe it's going to a small group meeting. Maybe it's going to Walmart. Lord, you are not confined to walls or spaces or programs or a church or denomination. God, you can touch people right where they're at. And you said you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And I'm asking, Father, that these people would have a genuine encounter with you. Lord, I feel like you just may show up to somebody in a dream, show up in a vision, show up by an angelic visitation. Lord, we give you permission. And I believe if they're really hungry, they're going to give you permission. We give you permission to invade our lives, invade our space, invade every crevice of our lives, our family, our work area, everything. Invade our lives just like you did Isaiah. When he came into your presence, Lord, he knew he was a man of unclean lips. There was a transformation that took place. He was purged. He was cleansed. He was made whole. And then he found his identity. He found his purpose. And then he went. He was sent and he obeyed and he walked out what he was called to do. I'm asking that you would do that for people today. Lord, show them their purpose, show them their identity, and may they be obedient, and may they be like Isaiah and say, and let them say, here am I, Lord, send me. Come on, do you believe this today? Do you accept this today? In Jesus' name, come on, just receive this today and walk in this today. And I believe, if you either you're going to experience it right now or God is setting you up. I'm telling you, God is a God of setups. If you hunger after him and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says you shall be filled. It may not be on your timeline. And it may not even be the way that you perceived that you were going to have encounter with God. But the Bible says in Jeremiah 33:3, that he says, call unto me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. If you keep calling out to him and you keep asking him to have a true encounter like Isaiah did, I'm telling you, God will meet you at that beckoning call, at that desperation from your heart. The Bible says he is nigh unto those with a broken heart, and he saveth such that has a contrite spirit. He is magnetized towards the cry of your heart. He don't want lip service. If you're just sitting there, yeah, Lord, yeah, 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 and your heart is not in this, guys, you're wasting your time. If you're just giving the Lord lip service, Jeremiah said, these people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. But if you really want an encounter with him in your heart of hearts, I'm telling you, he will meet you right there in Jesus' name. Guys, I want to show you some stuff on how you can keep up with our ministry. Again, right there on your screen, endtimeheadlines.org. EndTimeHeadlines.com, that's going to be our main website. You can go there and visit our website to get more information. Please subscribe. You're going to see places up at the tab at the top to subscribe. You'll get a newsletter every single day in your inbox. You can do that whenever you get a chance off this broadcast. If you've not yet downloaded our free app, again, it is available absolutely free on the Android store. It's available on the Apple store. It's free for you. I believe it'll be a great blessing to you. It's going to help you keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective to keep you informed. But it's also at the very bottom of the app. You can see right there on your screen, if you're watching this, you're going to see a place where it says listen and watch. It's got our podcast and it's got our YouTube channel where all messages like this, you can listen to them or you can watch them or you can do both. And all that's going to be available. There's push notifications so that you can be notified right there right on your phone or tablet or whatever device you're using of when we post articles and breaking news and everything like that. Again, guys, if you're not following us, we're on all kinds of different social media networks. The major social media networks, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, we're there, but we're also on Parler, we're on Telegram, we're on Instagram, we're on Gab, we're on all these networks as well. So there's got to be, you're probably more likely on one of them social media networks. So we ask that you would find where you like and follow us there to keep up with what we're doing, especially if you don't get the app. If you get the app, you're good. You're going to follow us no matter where we go. All right. Again, if you've not yet checked out Watchman Media Network, I want to encourage you to do that. This is a growing network of, I believe, our watchmen in this hour. There are different voices from different streams, and I believe they'll be a great blessing to you. All that is right there on our website. You'll see there's a tab that says Watchman Media Network. Just click on that, and it's going to take you to that page, and you'll be greatly blessed by many voices there, many messages there, words of encouragement and whatnot, and information loaded with information. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity to support and partner our ministry. If this ministry has been a continual blessing for you week after week, whether it be information, revelation, encouragement, equipping, or all the above, we want to give you that opportunity to either sow a one-time gift or become a monthly partner. And by the way, guys, just throwing this out there, we've recently launched something new that if you have a ministry or a business that you would like to see advertised on End Time Headlines, listen, we do over 1.5 million views. We do over 1.5 million page views a month. That's a lot of traffic. So if you want to get your business seen or your ministry seen, contact us. There on the website, there's a place up there that says advertise with us. Click on that, fill that form out, let us know. But again, we ask that you partner with us, support this ministry. Again, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we don't manipulate people at all. We don't tell you got to give this amount or X amount. We don't do that. Everything is free. Our app is free. Our messages are free. Our digest is free. Every single thing is free. All we ask is that you be obedient to how the Holy Spirit speaks to you, how you've been blessed by this ministry, and I know you will respond accordingly. And again, you can do that by going to, if you have the app, click down all the way to the bottom, to the far right. You can click on donate. You can give electronically. Again, if you're watching this, you don't have the app, go to the main website. You're going to see a place where it says donate. Click on it. Again, give electronically there, or you can give by check or money order right there on your screen at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. And that's it, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, guys, we appreciate you taking the time out today to come on here. Really quick update, as many of you guys know, about it, almost a year ago, we moved from the state of Indiana. We moved to the South. We moved to Georgia to our final place where we've settled. We put our roots in, and this is where our ministry base is going to be established. We are, my wife and I, our family's having a house built, our home built, and we are now 4 weeks away from transitioning or moving into our home. I'm very excited about this. And what this means for the ministry wise is we're going to have our studio built right there. And I'm excited about this, because we're going to be able to do more podcasts, more prayer segments. We're going to have guests come on. All that is, I've been waiting anxiously for this for over a year, and we're getting closer and closer to that. So keep that in prayer. If you would, keep my family in prayer, keep our ministry in prayer, and as we continue to pray for you. So we're going to sign off for today. We will take tomorrow off as usual, and we'll be back here on Wednesday, Lord willing, with another encouraging word or a prophetic update or whatever. It depends on what goes on and what transpires. And we just kind of be led by the Spirit on that, however he would lead us on that. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.